this poverty journey that I wound up going on while I was just wanting to launch my business and do some good in the world was 6 months into it. I was in New York, which had been the plan. And I was walking home to the place I was staying. That was going to come to an end in about a week's time. I wasn't sure what was next. And I just had a weird feeling that was unfamiliar. And so much of our practice is know what you're feeling. And it took me like a day, maybe 2 days, to identify it. And what I was feeling was unhappy. Like, unhappy? What the hell? I am not that guy. I'm not going to be that guy. This is ridiculous. What is wrong? What am I missing? What is not working here? And listen to inspiration is a massive component of our practice. Listen to your guidance, your intuition. And I really believed I'd been doing, and yet I was missing something.
Welcome, fellow entrepreneurs and goal getters, to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge, and my guest today, Stephen Morrison. We also have a special guest hopping on, my good friend, Jody Crawford, who's going to come on midway through the episode and have a great chat with Stephen. And you'll see why here in a minute. I just want to do due diligence, though, here and introduce Stephen properly. And you know what, Stephen? I'm so sorry. We've been chatting and I forgot to even ask, and I forget, where are you living?
I am in Southern California in a small town in the mountains in a national forest. I form basically a triangle with LA, San Diego, and me. So near Palm Springs, but up in the mountains.
Okay, nice. It sounds wonderful, actually.
It's
and
lovely.
So he's chiming in from someplace beautiful. I'm going to have to come visit. Even
You're
as
invited.
A meet. I'm invited. Awesome. I'm just going to give your background. So you're a former psychotherapist. You're an author, which is really cool. Practitioner. I know that in the space that you're in, some people would call you a health and wellness entrepreneur. And you have a business called Spiritual Workout, which is mental health for your soul. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. I'm excited to learn from you. We're going to bring Jody on later to have a real life example of walking somebody through where they're at with a certain struggle and how to get the outcome that you're looking for with yourself and your mindset. And so I think what a great place to start, Stephen, would be for us to just learn a little bit more about you. If you don't mind coming on and just sharing your story, how did you go from being a practitioner and what has been some of your journey? Because I know you faced some adversity, which is, I'm going to assume, why this is so important for you to have your business now and why you're so passionate about your purpose and having your business now, Spiritual Workout. How did you get to where you're at?
I got to where I'm at today because I was bored in my psychotherapy private practice. All due respect to all my former clients, some of whom I still have. But at the end of the day, I was just bored. I was saying the same things over and over. What I call spiritual workout now is exactly the same way I was practicing as a licensed psychotherapist. I saw that I wasn't building up my practice, which was, you know, I had already had a 10-year corporate career. I gave that up. Oh, this is what I want to do. And, you know, master's degree and all of that stuff and 3,000 hours of internship, you know, the whole thing. And then you get your license and your shingle. And I'm like, raring to go. And I just wasn't going. I just wasn't. And I actually shut it down at one point to just sort of reassess. And I had had this idea. At the end of the day, I'm thinking, you know, I'm having wonderful conversations with really dynamic people, but so many other people could benefit from this conversation. And so I just considered it for a while and gave up my license to practice psychotherapy. And I branded, called what I do, Spiritual Workout, Mental Health for Your Soul. And I still work privately with people. We can talk about that later if you want to. But I was very eager to bring it out into the world and see what would happen if instead of one person in the room, there were 25 or 50 or 500 and somebody raises their hand, hey, this is what's going on with me today. And we just bang it out the way we would in a private session. You know, spiritual workout, I'll give you the gist of it. It's really a practice of adhering to 15 concepts, none of which I made up. And I'm just going to list them for you just to give everybody some context. They always come out in alphabetical order. They're be compassionate, beliefs matter, be present, choices abound, everything is energy, have an attitude of gratitude, intentions matter, judgments separate us, listen to inspiration, mind and body are connected, take responsibility, nobody's favorite, the law of attraction is always on, we are all connected, we are here for a reason, and finally, we belong to the planet, not the planet to us. So when I was becoming a psychotherapist, I was also, you know, as all seekers are doing, who am I? What is going on? What's my life about? I was going through some big changes, and I just made it my business to practice these concepts that I was being exposed to in book after book and lecture after lecture, and I'm thinking that I'm running to catch up to the caboose of the speeding train that everybody else is already on. These concepts have been out for millennia. I didn't make them up, but everybody's has books and global audiences. And so I'm putting it all into practice in my life while I'm becoming a therapist. And I'm thinking, wow, things are really changing here in my life. For example, take responsibility. I don't get to blame my parents anymore for everything that's wrong in my life because that's what I was doing and I was doing it really well. And that's just one example. And so then I get my degree and I'm done. Here comes the shingle and I'm practicing this way. And like I say, because the approach is what it is, everybody's unique and special and different to a point. And then you come to something like spiritual workout. Welcome. Nice to meet you. We understand what's going on here. Now here's how we work through it here and here. And so I never know who's going to show up. I never know who's going to raise their hand, what they're going to bring up. And then we just kind of go through it. You know, people say, oh, is it group therapy? No. What it really is one-on-one sessions, whether it's a three-minute session or a 30-minute session with an audience, because the audience is gaining tremendous benefit as well. And that's the whole point. Part of my business.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love everything that you just shared. I love that concept. I've never thought of it like that, how you shared that conversation behind closed doors. So many people could benefit from that conversation based on what they're going through and the relatability of it and being able to apply it to their own life. And so to take that into a wider stage where people can benefit from that, that's really awesome. And we're going to have an example of that today, right? Being on the podcast, having one person be watched through their struggle so that the listeners can learn and actually have a real life example of what you do with spiritual workout. Curious, though, how you got to this space where you knew this was your calling. And usually I feel people's calling comes to them because of their journey of what they went through with their adversity. Did for you start to go, let's say, sideways or downhill, where you got to learn some of your biggest lessons based on just your hardships?
It's really interesting because, to your point, most people have some crazy experience and they learn and grow from it. And then they turn around and want to help other people with in similar ways, right? It's the wounded healer. It's a well-worn path. For me, it was the opposite. I'd done all the development and gotten from psychotherapy to spiritual workout in this little town that I had moved to. It was like my laboratory. I got to test it all out. My previous career had been marketing. I kind of know what I'm doing there, test marketing. So I had a fully formed, test marketed, successful product, actually a service, and it's ready to go. And I was already self-financed it in best practices way. And zip, zap, zoom, perfect storm, 2008 financial crisis, whatever. I just wound up with nothing. Everything I had, everything that was going to fund me through my project literally disappeared. And so losing house, home, money, community, insurance, everything that we all aspire to have, which I had already done, was now gone. It really was sort of like the rug pulled out. And instead of launching my business from, like I say, a best practices, pretty well-financed, self-financed perch, I would be doing it instead from the bottom of a deep, dark ditch of nothingness and emotional upheaval. And I thought, okay, fine. If that's how it's going to be, because the one thing I had left, in spite of all that I had quote unquote lost, was my practice. I know how to get out of this ditch. I just do. So I will, and I'll just go about doing my business that way instead of the other way. And I thought, you know, a few weeks, certainly a couple months, we'll get this train back on the track. And everything will be fine because my product is ready to go. I just have to go where there are people, which was the plan. I was going to go to New York. That's my home city. And take this market-tested thing, put it where there are people, and make it grow. And that wasn't happening. It just wasn't. Week after week, month after month, I was there. I made it there. I'm joining entrepreneur groups, making connections. A couple people I'm still friends with. That was 14 years ago or so, but nothing that should have been working was working. And I think one of the best stories I can tell to describe what set up this poverty journey that I wound up going on while I was just wanting to launch my business and do some good in the world was 6 months into it. I was in New York, which had been the plan. And I was walking home to the place I was staying. That was going to come to an end in about a week's time. I wasn't sure what was next. And I just had a weird feeling that was unfamiliar. And so much of our practice is know what you're feeling. And it took me like a day, maybe 2 days, to identify it. And what I was feeling was unhappy. Like, unhappy? What the hell? I am not that guy. I'm not going to be that guy. This is ridiculous. What is wrong? What am I missing? What is not working here? And listen to inspiration is a massive component of our practice. Listen to your guidance, your intuition. And I really believed I'd been doing, and yet I was missing something. And so, however it came to me in that moment, it was like, all right, I've already given up everything. I have one thing left, this practice, which is ostensibly my career, my life's purpose. All right, if you want that too, universe, here, take it. And I had this crazy, dark night of the soul. Okay. And I it felt like a stillbirth. Like I was asked, like this thing was in me. I thought it was being born, but it was dead. And it was my job to give it up. And I did. Like, all right, you know, that whole, again, that archetypal, you ask me, kind of boring at this point, story of like, you know, naked before God and everyone, nothing left, pure surrender. Boring. Haven't we heard this story a million times? But there it was, and that's what I was in. And I declared in that moment that I am never, ever, ever, ever making another move in my life until and unless I'm as sure as I can be that it is coming from my heart and not my head. Of course, I thought I'd already been doing it. And I had to continually remind myself as this stretch of poverty went, more months, more years, up to 12 years. That was what was going to fuel me. And that's how I'm here today. So I'm in sort of that in-between spot. I'm an entrepreneur ready for investment to really scale up what I have. And I have something because of this practice, and none of it was created in a best practices way that all of us would normally.
Oh, man, you are really great at sharing your story. First of all, I have to say that, like, you just pulled me in. I felt like I was in your story with you from my own experience and thinking, and I'm sitting there watching Jody and see that she was feeling it as well, because I think that your stories, like you said, it's not boring. It's actually relatable, right? It's just so relatable. Everybody has a version of that, maybe not that extreme. Yeah, I'm curious, Stephen, you know, I have a few questions based on your story before we put Jody on, because, you know, you talked about how you were in momentum and you had everything aligned for you and going in the right direction, and you're about to launch your business and then everything fell apart. And so, speaking from being responsible, I believe we're the source, right, of everything great and everything not great. Of course, there's always external circumstances. Yet just for the listeners, for myself, for Jody, for those of us that, like, are in growth and in the trenches of our life and our goals and things like that, what would you say, if you can go back and remember, would be a few limiting mindsets you had at the time, or, like, how were you the causal agent of some of that, like, such that we can be proactive and learn from, like, that moment when everything started to fall apart? What would, if you looked back, be some things that you're like, aha, maybe if I would have done that different, or if my mindset shift was there, like, does this make sense what I'm asking, like, right before that happened?
Yes, but I never, ever, ever had anything close to a frame of I had done something wrong. It was, but the way that I can answer that question, I think, when it was all happening, what set me on the path that I went on? I read all the 15 concepts too before, listed them. The first one that I employed at that moment was take responsibility. So the spiritual part of spiritual workout, where we are eternal beings in bodies, souls in bodies, right? That idea that there's more to us than what we see in the physical, right? It's metaphysical. So all of this practice is, what do the circumstances of our lives look like through the lens of any or all of these concepts? And we'll get into more of that later. So for me, in that moment, and it was right when the whole world was, 10 million people in America lost their homes for different reasons. I was losing mine at that time, but for a different reason. And it didn't matter, because there I was. And I immediately took responsibility. Nobody's doing anything to me. This isn't my time to blame Wall Street fat cats. It's not my time to blame the housing market. It's not my time to blame the global economy, because some people right now are doing just fine. I'm not. I'm me. All I have is me. So I'm not going to blame anybody for any of this. And then the very next step is, well, if I'm not blaming anybody, then what's in my world that got me here? And beliefs matter. So what would a person have to believe to wind up in the situation I was in? And there began another dive into my own spiritual workout practice, because I found a whole bunch of beliefs that had been dormant for 30 years and now were suddenly in my face. I can't have what I want. The good times don't last. Life is a gargantuan struggle. Things are harder for me than they are for other people. These were beliefs that I took on and created in my little toddler world, like we all do, because all my parents ever did was bitch and moan and scream and yell about money. So before I could do much else, I knew money was a big, giant issue. I did what I thought I was supposed to do. I went to college. I got myself to college. I got a good degree. I got a good job. Okay, I'm out. I'm in the world. I'm doing my thing. This is how it's supposed to go. I had 30 years of that. And then, kaboom, it's gone. But this practice led me to look at those beliefs. So the first many months, if not longer than that, I'm doing everything in my power, and it's all in my power, to discreate those beliefs so I never, ever, 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 ever have an experience like this again.
Yeah, I love that. And that was one question, and you answered my question so great. And I was going to ask, what other inner resources did you call forth? And it probably comes back to your spiritual concept. So for those who are listening, who are maybe the odds are stacked against them right now, whether it's spiritually, financially, mentally, and they're wanting to reclaim their power and move forward. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other inner resources we can tap into to feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel?
To me, I can just speak for myself. This idea that the law of it, these are the cards I use when I do my online classes, just, you know, in person, I usually have a whiteboard. Anyway, just, so this kind of haunts me, that the law of attraction is always on. Every thought I'm thinking, every mood I'm in, every feeling I'm having is creating more of it. So if that's the case, then it really matters what we want. And that's all about intentions. So intentions matter also. So I think one of the first things for anybody to do in that situation is to start to think in terms of what you want. Everything that's happening today has already been created. It's already done. Whether it's really good, really bad, or anything in between, it's already done. So if it's really good and you want more of it, keep going. If it really sucks and you want something else, think and talk and act in terms of that. Something else. It's basic, everyday, living intentionally practiced.
Yeah, I like it. You know, and so, okay, so before we bring Jody on, I have one question in relation to this, starting to think about what we want. So, you know, you went through that journey. I'm curious if, as you were rebuilding, how did your definition of success change? Like, did it go from, I don't know, maybe a little bit of ego being involved to more soul-led? Like, you talked about going from your head to your heart and only making decisions that were heart-based. Mm-hmm. So how did the way you start to view success meant such that you could feel fulfilled and happy, how did that change and morph, or did it?
I don't think it ever changed. To me, the whole reason to be an entrepreneur, to go out in the world and do what lights me up, that is success. Doing what has me in what I often call just in alignment, feeling good, things are humming, everything's going great. That to me is success. I used to have a lot of the other kind of success, you know, the corporate success, the job title, the, you know, the office with the window, the salary, whatever those things were. But I had already shifted and changed that in part of the process of becoming a therapist, becoming the spiritual workout guy and all of that. So that was what drove me. If I was still believing that I had to make a certain amount of money by a certain amount of time, we wouldn't be sitting here, because I would have given it up and gone and got a job at Trader Joe's 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But my inspiration would not allow me to do that. And we can talk more about that. But that was really the driver. So my definition of success is me happy. That's it. Me aligned, yeah. Me doing and thinking and talking about what's interesting to me. Me connecting in the world with like-minded, like-spirited people. Those kinds of things. Me moving around the world. Me traveling. Me getting to know different cultures. Me having fun. Fun, 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 die. That's success.
Go bigger. Have fun, everybody. Yeah. It's so true. When I was in my unhappy era, one of the biggest reasons why is because fun was missing from the equation.
Yeah.
And it was a big wake-up call for me as well. Okay, let's bring Jody on, Stephen. I would love to bring Jody on. And so I just want to introduce Jody. And Jode, maybe just for a sec, can you just keep it on mute for a sec? And then I'm going to introduce you, and then I'll put myself on mute just so there isn't background noise. But I just want to introduce Jody, because she's a really good friend of mine. We've known each other for a very long time. And she's one of those people that is just super authentic, super genuine. And she has a business that I'm going to let her share about. Yet her speaking, like, when, as I'm listening to you talk, Stephen, how you're like, I just wanted to like live my mission, basically, and like be aligned with who I was within that mission. That's how I think of Jody. So She helps burnt out, exhausted souls reclaim their love for themselves, their power, their energy. Yay. She has invented something and founded something called the Pink and Blue Energy Solution, which is a game changer. It's changing lives. And she's a coach. She's a harmony coach. She's a mentor to people. And she's just one of those people that when you walk in the room, you want to get to know Jody, because she genuinely, truly wants to see people love themselves and be happy, speaking of happiness. So I'm just going to bring Jodester on, and I'm going to pass it over to you, Stephen, and we're going to give an example of what it looks like to walk somebody through their struggle and work on their mental health and get back to being intentional, like you said, of where they're going. And so, great. Stephen, I'm just going to pass it to you and put myself on mute.
All right. Before you go to mute, the therapist in me has to ask, so what do we have, about 15, 20 minutes?
I would be more 10 or 15. 10 or 15.
Okay, got it. See, I'm glad I asked. You got it. Okay. Thank you, Kelly. Hi, Jody.
Hi. I'm so delighted to be here. I was just sitting here listening to your story and marveling at just how heart-centered you truly are. Like, I could feel it through the camera just looking at you, and being soul-driven, that, of course, is going to be the clientele that you attract. And so I run a class called the Vitality Collective, and I say the tagline for it is, it's a gym for your mind, body, and soul. And so when you gave me your tagline of mental health for your soul, I was like, oh, this is my brother walking on earth. On just to the other side.
The workout gym part. Yeah.
Yeah. That really aligned with me. And I'm feverishly writing your 15 concepts down as you were speaking them out. And I love that you had cards. For those of you who are listening online and aren't watching the YouTube video, he's like whipping up cards that he made with these concepts on them throughout. I immediately saw your frame and was like, so good. So good.
Well, thank you for that. So what's on your, I guess we're going to do a mini little session here.
My heart today. Okay, so here's some very quick background. I was a high school teacher for over 20 years and know that my mission in this life and many lifetimes has been to teach. And when I was switching out of teaching and moving into the personal growth and development space full time, I, like you, went and got the degrees. I have, you know, several certifications. I went the intellectual route to make sure that I had the foundation and proof that I could teach the things I wanted to teach. Mm-hmm. And what I found most interesting about the transition from employee to entrepreneur, there wasn't a huge difference in my particular job, because as a teacher, I was always thinking of the next day. It was always about like thinking into the future, which is 100% what we do as entrepreneurs, right? About the next day. And so one of the jobs, I was saying to somebody, what I really miss is mowing lawns. When the lawn was mowed, it was done. It was complete. The energetics was closed around it. And that felt... And so in my stretch days, that's one of my red flags of overwhelm. I notice a thought, an earwig thought of mowing lawns. And I was like, oh, okay. So she's feeling a little overwhelmed and gets to use what I call the pink solution, which is getting into a peaceful state. So, and many, many ways to walk into that. And that's a whole podcast in and of itself, which I think is like episode 3 of Kelly's podcast here, if you want to go back and listen.
I will.
So for myself, one of the things that I found in this journey as an entrepreneur, that transition, is that at one point, the government told me what I was worth. And I worded as that I was worth, because that's genuinely what I believed back then. I believed that my worth was attached to the amount of money that was coming in the door for my occupation. Since then, I have had a massive shift in belief, and I actually do not attach worth and the value of what I offer at all anymore. My worth is completely separate. And I hope humanity can see that in themselves, that they are not attached and they are not equal, and you can never monetize your worth. That's never going to happen. And so, however, I am at that point in my journey where I have up-leveled my pricing, because my original point A pricing was based on what a public school teacher makes. And so it was like, that's what my education degree says that I should get paid, should, notice the shoulding on myself, get paid based on what the government sees the value in, blah, blah, blah. And of course, now for 12 years, I have been in the personal growth and development world, have ran many, many seminars with a seminar company who supported me in getting my coaching under Realm in performance coaching. And I now put myself in several rooms with people who really have zero problem establishing a particular price level for their offerings that is delicious, like just straight up delicious. Like a half day, I was working with a coach just recently, and I said, what does it cost to spend a half day with you? And she says, $5,000. And I'm go, USD, because she's from the States. And she goes, yep. And so, of course, my Canadian translation brain goes to, that's $7,500 for a half day. That is more than I made in a month. Regularly. It was like my energetic minimum financially for a month's worth of work. And I immediately in my past self would have went, wow, that's like a significant, like that whole story that you just heard, that reel of, wow, that's more than I made in a month. And then I have this another aspect of me that's, hell yes, I would pay that to spend half a day with you. I would pay that to have that level of awareness. I have paid that. I've paid well over $80,000 on my personal development journey alone, outside of my degrees. My degrees were another 100 grand, right? So I know that I'm in the room with people that are like this, yet I feel like I'm not. Like, I feel like my environment, the people I surround myself with, are the people are always going to want to negotiate a price, or that's so expensive, or like those are the words that are coming out of their mouth, reaffirming to myself that old identity of, so I find myself oscillating between this space of very much abundance and prosperity and a delicious income that supports the value of 20 years of knowledge.
Yeah.
And thousands of dollars of my own investment in myself. And then back to, yet that's not what's in my actual immediate perspective in front of me. This is the evidence that's in front of me is, yeah, not supporting that on a regular basis. And so help, Stephen.
Okay. 2 minutes left. Let's go. All right. Here's what we're going to do. If you came in with that to me, we're going to focus first and foremost on intention. What do you want? Wow, I am so happy with my business, with my income. There's so much all the time. I've completely turned around my entire thoughts and ideas about worth and value, and it's all the way now. And it's you're gonna put that into your own language.
Monogy. Okay.
And then while we're doing this, this is foot on the gas in my practice, foot on the gas. And we learn in spiritual workout world to get our intentions shiny and clear. And we learn to keep our foot on the gas all the time. Except sometimes we have a whole bunch of beliefs about why what we want isn't possible. Well, my history, 20 years, the government, what I used to, all that stuff, legitimate. Every single one of us has every right to whatever belief we have. That is never the question. I had a right to all those beliefs I had about what I thought things were like, right? Be based on my experience. But they were just beliefs of mine, not of the world. And they weren't factual and they weren't anything like that. And I'm sure this is not new for you. So in my world, we've got our foot on the gas, and then we do a dump list. We literally dump all the beliefs you have that you're talking about and intimating about and get them well articulated. They're already here. They've been in you for a long time. So we just need to see what they are. Then we get to the place where most of this stuff is jumbled up in our hearts and minds all the time. Well, I can sort of have that, but then there's this and sort of that. And then, well, this was a really good day, but then I got to, and why can't this person afford my stuff? What's going on, right? And so this practice starts from, let's separate all that stuff out first. Here's what I want. Here's what I believe is possible. I can't get to where I want with the beliefs I have. So I either give up what I want. No, we're not going to do that. Or get rid of and change the beliefs I have that say I can't have what I want. It's not that complicated. So that would be the process that we would do. My work would be in helping you to really articulate what you want down into your bones, shiny and clear. That's sort of the first part of it. Then we're embodying it. Law of attraction's always on. We're magnets all the time. So this is just about, I mean, there are 10 trillion manifestation coaches out there. I don't call myself that at all. I'm just a regular average person who believes that this law of attraction thing is really a thing. And if that's the case, then what do? And here's what we do. Again, it's not that complicated, but people often get stuck. So we're getting that thing shiny and clear, gas pedal, and then all these non-serving beliefs, all these beliefs that we have every right to have that just don't serve us anymore. We undo, we transmute, we transform, and change them from non-serving into serving. I don't think it's any more complicated than that, but in the real world, what I just described can take a session with some people and it could take a year with others. Everybody's sort of in it. But that's the basic, that's where we'd start. And then you kind of see whatever else comes up along the way. And a lot of these other concepts will come into play. And I could go on, but I won't.
Beautiful. Good job.
Does that make sense, Does that make sense as an approach?
Yeah, no, it's very clear. And it's a very clear pattern, which is cool to see, like being able to whip out these particular tools and say, let's apply this tool and this tool and put this recipe together and put it into play in your life and see where it's going to go. And not from a we'll see, not from another unlimiting belief perspective, from a genuine curiosity.
Well, like, and also from alignment with the intention. Okay, this is what I'm wanting. My job is to stay aligned with that. Oh, you are talking about not being able to afford it. Bye-bye. Because I'm staying right here. And eventually, anything that isn't that will stop coming to me. What's still coming to me is my older stuff.
Yes.
And so, and the last thing I'll say, Kelly, is that I'm working with a couple just last night. And guess what? We're doing the exact same thing for their 25-year relationship. We're talking about intentions and beliefs. And this is the part of spiritual workout practice and my counseling for the masses model that I get so excited about, because you can drop into that class, sit back that night, you're making dinner and you're listening, and somebody who's not an entrepreneur and doesn't have your issue is talking about their stuff. And guess what? We're still talking about intentions, beliefs, and that's going to resonate with you.
Mm-hmm. Your guys' conversation, if I can come in and ask a question based on it.
You in the back.
You've gotten me in now. Yes. So I love this because it is. So the intentions, and then it's, okay, the beliefs. So how do we start to change the beliefs that serve us? I'm in a very similar space as Jody with this conversation. So my question for you, Stephen, is what are some ways we can start to adopt new beliefs? Some strategies to do that.
The beliefs that we're going to need to buttress and align with our intentions make themselves known. So the idea is, oftentimes it's just from I can't to I can. It's not possible to it's possible. Law of attraction works for other people. It doesn't work for me. Those kinds of things. And so we change those beliefs. I use EFT tapping as probably the primary, if not the sole tool for that, because somebody will say, sometimes the awareness of the belief is enough to be like, yeah, I don't need to believe that. Other times it's like people come to me, okay, what are you going to do with this? How are you going to get rid of this one? This is a fact. This has been my experience forever. Okay, come on, sit down. And then we'll do and they wake up a little bit. Oh, this couple I was just talking about, you know, they really thought their whole something was hopeless in their relationship. So it's hopeless. That's a belief. It's very clear, and it doesn't serve. You have every right to believe it's hopeless. It's been hopeless, but is it really? Is it hopeless? Do you know? Talk and tap. 5 minutes later, it's like, oh yeah, we don't think that's hopeless anymore.
I love it.
Jody, did you have a question? Any questions
before we move? I've done an EFT tapping session, and I actually said to the practitioner when I went in, you know, this is probably not a good time to test it out. Because one of the things I do, Stephen, is I test out a bunch of what I call pink practitioners. So people who help us heal from the ether, from the other side, from spiritual ways. And so I said to her, it's probably not a good time to come and do this. And she's like, why? And I said, oh, I'm just walking through a lot. She's like, sit down. What are you talking about? You couldn't have shown up in a better state. That's exactly. And I felt it in 7 minutes.
Yeah.
7 minutes. It was like I had moved from, Kelly, to use our terminology, from the bottom of the change chart to the top of the change chart, where it was like energetically, I was at this loss and this constriction and this ick. And I like moved up and I was like in expansion and possibility and so delicious. So that is a powerful tool.
It's a powerful tool, and it gets to the body,
yes,
the subconscious and the unconscious. That's how we really make fundamental change, because we change it in here. Okay, I'll stop.
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious about this part too, because when you and I were talking previously, Stephen, you know, a big part of, I believe, your belief, and I think all of us on here, is that we're all spiritual beings. And, you know, that was a question that you had asked previously when we were chatting, is like, do you see yourself as a spiritual being? Maybe you can explain what that means.
I never did before. You know, I lived 30 years without ever even having any inclination of that. And it really is nothing more than tending to, being aware of, paying attention to the being part of the human beings we are. To me, I'm not a religious person. I made it to that point in my life, 30, 35 years old. I didn't have any particular belief in anything other than just living in a normal American life. That's all I wanted, because I didn't feel connected. You know, almost everybody, they do these surveys all the time, all over the globe, believe in some idea of this. You know, I'm not here to sell. I'm not knocking on anybody's doors and trying to convince them of anything. But I think this work taps into a belief that so many of us have, even if we're not that sure of what we mean.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Stephen, people are definitely, I believe, listening to this, wanting to know more from you. I'll bring you on in one sec, Jode. I just want to ask you, where can people find you? So if they're wanting to know about your spiritual workout, be a part of it, follow you, be in your energy of connection, where can they find you?
Best place is just go to spiritualworkout.com. I have you can contact me directly from there. You can see some of the services that I offer. I do work privately with people, spiritual workout for artists and entrepreneurs. It's just a big, juicy constituency for me. I offer just a very low cost monthly subscription, which you can see there. And I also offer, like I said, working privately. And that's really the best place to go. I'm not really on much of social media at the moment. And so I would start there, spiritualworkout.com. And thank you for asking.
Awesome. I love that. And see, we're going to start to wrap up. I have a couple last questions, but Jode had a question.
Mine might be too juicy to end with, but I was super curious, because obviously there's a million concepts out there, a million tools, I call them.
Yeah.
You nailed 15 down.
Yeah.
Where did your 15 come from, and why those 15?
So when I was leaving corporate, going to be a psychotherapist, changing everything, I was also a mini baby seeker. Who am I? What am I? And there are no accidents. We're here for a reason. There are no accidents, right? And somehow, all of a sudden, Jody, I'm reading books. I never read books. Spirituality. And I'm like, all right, here's another one. And they were all, you know, this 30 years ago, right? So there was a sort of a big new agey push, and Oprah had people on all the time. And I'm just reading these books. And at a certain point, it was only a few months in, and going to some lectures, you know, come to the Airport Hilton in Phoenix for a weekend and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. It seems to me that everybody, all these people are saying the same things. All these authors, all these teachers, I'm hearing the same stuff over and over and over again. And watching everybody else, oh my God, you got to read this book, and you got to go to this guy's lecture, and you got, like, you know what? No, I'm going to run up to the caboose of the speeding train and bring these ideas into. There could have been 18, there could have been 12. For a long time when I was sort of running this in my mind, I'm like, there are 12 of these. I never sat down and wrote them out, but I was already practicing. And then the day came where it was time to write them out. And I'm like, all right. And I'm like, well, there are 14. And then, one more. There were 15. And it's just locked in on 15. And yet, I will say, I've not ever worked with anybody over the course of the last 30 years, starting with me, I'm my own first client, that was not able to go from where they were to where they wanted to be with these 15.
Yeah.
They feel very comprehensive as a group. And I've never felt the need to toss any, and I've never felt the need to seek more.
Awesome. Well, Stephen, with that, I have a couple last questions for you. You're going to do good. So my podcast, the tagline is called Unleashing Greatness Within. And so I'm curious, what would you say are three tips or pieces of advice for somebody to unleash their inner greatness?
Get in touch with your guts. Listen to inspiration. Be super clear about what you want. And take a survey of what you believe is possible.
Awesome. I love it. Okay. And so last question. It's perfect. What would you say would be a call to action for the listener? So when they hop off this episode, that they can go and apply right away, what's one thing you would guide for them to do?
From this practice, it's another concept. Be present. So to be present is to accept everything as it is, to offer no resistance, no judgment, just be. I'm not the first guy. Be present is a spiritual workout concept because people have had careers over teaching that one concept. But that's what popped into my head when you said that. You know, we tend to, it's our bodies are always present. It's our minds that go into trillions of different directions, right? So that idea of coming into alignment with the being part of us is another way to talk about being present, which is where we have to be in order to hear our inspiration, and you start to see how it all works together. And again, I'll just say, I didn't make any of this up. I'm just a guy who follows the rules. And turns out, in this case, following these rules makes life a whole lot better, more fun, and more interesting.
Oh my gosh, I agree. Stephen, thank you so much for being here today and sharing. Jody, I want to thank you for coming on and just always being so willing to be open and vulnerable. And actually, your episode is episode number 5. So for those of you who are listening, go back and listen to Jody's episode. It's about taking radical responsibility from the energy of masculine and feminine energies, which is her pink and blue solution. And just go and listen to that episode. Jody, thank you for being here. And Stephen, thank you for coming on and sharing. I got so much value myself. This is why I love having my podcast, is because I get to learn. And you're a real special person with a special gift and a special message. And so mental health for your soul, I love that. So everybody go and check out The Spiritual Workout with Stephen Morrison. And Stephen, thanks just for being here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. And thank you, Jody, as well.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, I love that episode. That's the first time I've ever had a guest on coming in, and that was really cool to have a special guest, Jody, pop on. Jody, thank you so much. Great question you had about the value we provide and charging for that. I love that conversation. We could have an whole episode about that. Stephen, thank you so much for being here. You are a special soul. I love what your business is all about, right? Mental health for the soul and just supporting people through their struggles, whatever that is, and giving them the tools, right? Through the different mindset beliefs that you have and how you help people get clear on who they are and what they want, and then taking a look at their beliefs and how it's serving them and how it's not serving them, and then building new beliefs, right? I always like to say how beliefs are created is by what we tell ourselves over and over again. And as long as we're crystal clear on what we want and we can have our beliefs match that it is absolutely possible, I can, I will, I must, the sky is the limit for all of us. And this is a work in progress, right? I'm working on this too. Definitely go and follow Stephen. He's a gem of a person. Thank you so much, Stephen. Go and listen to my friend Diana's podcast. I don't know what number it is, Diana Zisselman, off the top of my mind. She's the one who introduced me to Stephen. And then go and listen to Jody's podcast, which is episode 5 as well. So just happy listening. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. With love, greatness, and success, it's your host, Kelly Beveridge.